We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Monday, it's April 8th, it is 2024. We have a 9-game MLB slate to talk about here on today's podcast. Joined today by my good buddy, Will Priester, Chief Just So Six. Chief, how's it going, my friend?
It's going, man. Definitely ready to bring this slate down. I'm not sure if you know, Stevie. I don't think we've talked about this specifically, but to kick off the MLB season, I wasn't able to really play DFS over the weekend just because I had so much personal stuff going on. But, like, as I've been playing, I think we did talk about this, you know, one day. I've been so close to GPP takedowns every day I've played DFS. I mean, just right there, Stevie, but just can't quite get all the way. I know the big one is coming. I didn't have a great time in the prop scene over the weekend, but that's to be expected. I've gone through this song and dance before. Usually early in the year, it's a little bit more inconsistent. As we get around to May and June, I'll be cooking with hot grease in the prop streets, putting some sweeps together. I'm doing fine, but I'm just saying, like, I'm talking about some of those massive days. But hopefully in DFS, man, we can take something down in this slate and get my first bank for the year.
Yeah, I've had a couple close calls. I finished second, I think, three times in single entry baseball stuff. So, yeah, it's been I think I've only had one losing day to start the year. So it's been fantastic. I'm ready, man. I love baseball season. I talk about it all the time. NASCAR, Derek says, how boring was that race? I mean, this package at Martinsville just isn't working. They have a lot of work to do there. So, It was a snoozer for sure. Johnson says, let's get paid today. What's up, my two favorite people? What's up, man? We appreciate that. Ready to, break this slate down. First look, as always, at this slate. And it's an interesting one. Pitching and everything like that. We got college basketball going on. Who do you got? You got UConn or Purdue?
I'm going to take UConn here. I think UConn is the better team all around. Once again, it would not shock me if Purdue found a way to just really win this thing and Zach Edey goes crazy. But straight up, I think UConn's the better team. And so that in this sport, man, I'm going to take who I think is the best. I think UConn's the best team. But kudos to Purdue for going all the way. I don't think a lot of people, even experts, were thinking Purdue was going to get there. Like, there were a lot of teams that had to lose for them to get there, and a lot of teams that they had to beat as well. So kudos to them for getting all the way.
You know who I picked to win in my bracket? UConn? Purdue over UConn.
Ah.
So I'm okay. I'm alive in my bracket. I had a lot of misses, yeah. But my bracket – points wise, super solid. So, but yeah, I'm rooting for Purdue. And like, I honestly, I don't have like a rooting factor in either team, but my wife's uncle is, he went to school at Purdue. So I'm rooting for Purdue for him tomorrow or tonight, whenever you listen to the podcast. So,
yeah.
And I want them to win for my bracket. I want to say like I picked the winner in my bracket. So nine baseball games. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. Let's talk some baseball. Seattle at Toronto, 8 total in this game. Slight favorite to the Blue Jays, -118, almost a pick 'em. We got Luis Castillo and Jose Berrios facing off against each other here. Any interest in Luis Castillo?
Yeah, I have some interest, Stevie. Toronto, I'm really not afraid of this team right now. In like overall. Yeah. They got some good hitters. You know, the one thing about Castillo right now, Stevie, he's giving up a lot of hits. I don't like that. He's giving them up against Boston. He's giving them up against Cleveland. Almost went six innings. What I do like, though, his pitch count, Stevie, started out 91 pitches, 99 pitches in the second game. He's ready to go in terms of his leash. So if he's pitching well, I think he's going to continue to roll. I don't see him giving up 10 hits to the Toronto Blue Jays. I think he has a nice outing here at 9,400, most expensive pitcher on the slate on DraftKings. I'm fine with it. Not most expensive, I'm sorry. Right there in the mid-range, almost. He's third most expensive. I'm fine with him despite the fact that he hasn't quite gotten there. The strikeouts are still there. Had 5 in the first game, 6 in the second game. If he can get the hits down and keep the ball in the park, keep the runs down, the fantasy points will come. All that to say, I'm okay with Castillo today.
You know what Boston and Cleveland have in common? They have a lot of lefties.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what Toronto doesn't have? Toronto doesn't have a lot of lefties. I mean, there is a chance that we get 6 or 7 right-handed hitters in this lineup tomorrow for the Blue Jays. And Luis Castillo, even last season, was dominant against right-handed bats. You know, even his struggles this year, if we look at his two starts, it's two starts, but 35% K rate against righties, 18% against lefties, 300 ISO, 0 ISO, 86 WOBA to 550. Lefties have been beating up Castillo to start the season, and he just came off of a low strikeout team and had 7 Ks, which is a great sign. You talked about the pitch count being good. That's a great sign. So when I'm looking at Luis Castillo, I love this matchup handiness-wise, you know, getting all these right-handed hitters here. I would like it a little bit more if it was in Seattle because, I mean, definitely a better pitcher's ballpark in Seattle than in Toronto. But I still think Luis Castillo, I think he's a top 5 pitcher on the slate. I think this is a really good spot for him overall today. And then going to the other side, you got Jose Berrios. I mean, he has started the season kind of struggling a little bit as well. I'm a little concerned about Berrios just because, like, he doesn't necessarily have that, like, dominant strikeout stuff where, like, Castillo could get into trouble and he could use some whiff pitches and, you know, get ahead in counts and get out of jams. Like, Berrios really hasn't shown, like, that type of ceiling yet to start the season. There's a lot of strikeouts in the Seattle lineup. Definitely boosts his, like, potential strikeout upside. He's 7,100 on DK. Any interest here in Berrios?
Yes, Steve. You've pretty much set this thing up. I mean, you put it on a tee for me. Everything that I was going to try to contribute to the conversation you've said, I just want to reinforce. I think this is purely a price and possible upside play. Like sometimes, Stevie, you know, the pitcher doesn't have to be elite. Like we know Jose Berrios isn't elite, but he is okay. And at 7,100 against Seattle at home, I'm okay with if Babbitt's in his favor and we get another 21 points like we did against Tampa, I'm okay with that today, Stevie. I'm okay with 21 from him at 7,100. Not saying he gets to 21, but generally speaking, if we had a repeat of that performance, I'd take that all day. So at 7,100, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, he's been really good against left-handed hitters this season, and we see that from time to time with guys that throw, like, sinker-cutter combos. Right-handed pitchers throw sinker-cutter combos. They can pitch well against left-handed hitters. But, I mean, even in his in the struggles so far this season, like, still generating a good amount of whiffs on, like, his fastball, so that's always good. It's sitting a little bit higher than it was last year. So, like, the velocity is already there for Berrios, like, early in the season, which is I mean, a positive sign here. So, yeah, I'm with you on Berrios. I like him in this spot. I think both pitchers in play. Let's talk bats. If you're not playing Berrios, any interest in the Seattle bats here?
Yeah, listen, for right now, Stevie, no matter what the spot is, as long as we can get Julio, like, what I call reasonably priced to his possible upside. Like, I know, look, man, he hasn't really been crushing this season, but at 5,600, at some point, the double dong game is coming, Stevie. It's on the way, right? Like, this isn't going to continue. At 5,600, I'm okay with rolling him out there. Same thing with Cal Raleigh. If he's going to be in the lineup, this is another guy that's got pretty good power. I'm okay playing him as well. I'm not lining up to play Seattle guys today for what it's worth, but these big bats, which are, you know, some of the obvious ones, I just can't ignore Julio, and I don't feel like he's a guy that's going to pick up a whole bunch of steam. So being able to get a good power bat with, you know, 2-3 home run upside that nobody's going to play today, I'm in.
One other thing that I just wanted to mention about Berrios is just how bad Seattle has been to start the season. I mean, they're 29th in WRC plus against right-handed pitching, and like, it's a very small sample size, and I don't even like looking at like this season stats alone. But you look at the lineup, man. No one's hitting the ball well. Like, they're all struggling. The whole entire, like, they couldn't get out of, you know, Milwaukee fast enough because they have just been struggling so much. So, I mean, I think there's two ways to approach it. You know, there's some potential positive regression coming when you're looking at some of the ex-WOBA stuff and ex-ISO stuff. But I mean, they got to stop swinging and missing. They're just striking out at such a huge clip. So I think if I'm playing Seattle, like you said, a Julio Rodriguez one-off is something that I never hate doing. But if I'm playing Seattle, I'm probably stacking them, just hoping Berrios doesn't have his stuff. But I have more interest in Berrios than I have in the Seattle bats on the slate. We have bats.
For sure.
Don't worry. Sure. We're going to talk about a couple teams that we're going to like a lot today.
One is my team, and they're coming up soon. Don't worry.
Yeah, their next game. So any interest here in the Blue Jays?
Yeah, no, I'm gonna fully fake Toronto today. You know, in my mind, you think I'd want to play Vlad, but Vlad's not really a crazy power guy to me, like, in general. He's just hitting the ball on the ground too much. So I'm not really sweating it, Stevie. I think I'm going to fully fade Toronto, and I'm going to feel confident in that. Once again, I just think, you know, I'm going back to Julio for a reason, but I think Julio's just not going to hardly get any ownership. And Toronto may not either, but I'm okay. I'm going to take the full fade.
Yeah, I mean, so we'll talk about Springer a lot this week, I feel like, but Castillo is so good against righties. Like, you really want to kind of attack him with lefties. So maybe like a one-off Biggio if you like need a cheap like second base play. I don't even know if he's cheap. I didn't even look at pricing yet. He's 2,900. So, okay, perfect like one-off punt second base. Like, all right, I don't really love anything at second base today. I'm not going to pay up to get like Ketel Marte or Ozzie Albies. And I'm just going to go down and I'm going to get Biggio at 2,900 and hope that he takes Castillo deep. I mean, that's, I think, definitely viable. All right, let's talk about your Braves. Mets, Braves, 9.5 total. Atlanta, 210 favorite. Julio Teheran back in our lives. Charlie Morton pitching for Atlanta today. Let's go Julio Teheran first. Any interest here, Will?
No.
Yeah, I knew the fast no was coming. I purposely paused to give you a more dramatic factor there, but yeah, I mean Julio Teheran is not good. He missed last season, right? He didn't pitch at all last season. He's come out and, or no, he pitched a little bit last year.
Was he with the Angels for a little bit?
Yeah, he pitched a little bit with the Angels last year. Yeah, not good, awful. Looking at the stats now, bad. Not good. Yeah, don't play him against one of the best offenses in baseball. And then on the other side, we got Charlie Morton. I don't really love Charlie Morton today, too. You get the Mets outside of Citi Field, and they actually have plenty of bats in this lineup that can beat up on Charlie Morton here. I think if you're going to play Charlie Morton, you definitely want to play him against like right-handed heavy teams that don't have a ton of power. I mean, you're the guy that watches Charlie Morton. You said you wanted to ship him off for you know, no, I just cash consideration. To the
bullpen. Yeah. That's all it was.
any interest here in Morton?
Let me say this, Stevie, for what it's worth. I have seen Charlie Morton pitch in real life in a Braves uniform. And I must say, the dude can pitch. Like, he's a good pitcher
in real life, yeah.
Yeah, in real life, he knows how to pitch. He's just getting older. But I'm with you. I think at 10K, I'm okay with the Morton fade today with him being a top three price on the slate. If he was 8,500, Stevie, we're having a totally different conversation. At 10K, though, I'm okay leaving him on the show.
Yeah, see, the price obviously a factor. I kind of like the Mets a little bit today, just in general. So, like, Morton, he drew kind of like a dream first start. Like, the White Sox offense is awful this year. We've been picking on them already. We're going to continue to do it. Their offense is just terrible. So, like, that's a great spot for Morton. This isn't. Like, you look at the matchup and Nimmo, Lindor, Beatty, you know, even like Jeff McNeil. McNeil doesn't strike out a lot, and he's a guy that's going to give Charlie Morton fits, you know, and then you get the power with like Alonso in there. So I just think it's a bad spot overall. And like Charlie Morton's biggest issue last season was just give up a ton of hard contact and a lot of barrels. And if you give up barrels to a guy like Pete Alonso outside of Citi Field, he's going to take you deep. So let's talk about those Mets bats. Kind of already just said who I like here. You know, I like Pete Alonso a lot. I like Brandon Nimmo. Alvarez at catcher is someone that is really interesting to me today. He's 3,500. He's kind of in that like Ruiz range now where, all right, now he's outside of Citi Field and I think we could take some shots on him. So I like probably like a three-man Mets stack for me, you know, kind of mixing in like McNeil, Alonso, Alvarez, Lindor, Nimmo. I don't know if I full stack the Mets here because the Braves bullpen is solid, but I do think the Mets like three man is fine or 4-4 on like FanDuel.
Yeah, listen, I'm four with Alonso, McNeil. The thing about the Mets, Stevie, is outside of Lindor and Alonso, they're actually pretty affordable. Like nobody's really breaking the bank. And I think, you know, like you talked about getting them in Atlanta, at Truist Park, I'm perfectly fine with running some mini stacks of them, and I think that's where I'm at too. I don't want to look. They're still the Mets. For some reason, they struggle to score runs so much, Stevie. But the opportunity will be there for them in this spot. I'm okay with it for sure.
Yeah. So like on Friday, I won off Jeff McNeil a lot. I think he was like 2,900 or something. He was really cheap. I don't remember exactly. Oh, he was 3,400. So I won off him because I mean they were in Cincinnati. So he hit his home run. So that was nice. I was really close on Friday too. Just missed on some bats. Didn't have a lot of Red Sox, so got caught late on Friday.
Red Sox, they just whoo.
Yeah, I mean that's always a catch-22 for me. Because I'm a Sox fan. Let's talk about the Braves. I mean, probably the best stack outside of Arizona. So, like, if you're not stacking Arizona and Coors against a terrible pitcher, Atlanta is that stack you're looking at to pivot off of them. I mean, there's nothing that you're going to say that I'm not going to agree with and nothing I'm going to say that you're not going to agree with. You want to take as much as you want here against Julio Teheran. The best thing about Julio Teheran, too, is he doesn't really walk people. So you're going to get a lot of strikes thrown here. And load up on the Braves. It's a great spot. Matt Olson might be my favorite hitter on the slate today.
Yeah, Matt Olson hit a home run today in today's matchup. Let me tell you something, Stevie. Like, here's the fear of the Braves, because you've already summed it up. Play the Braves, folks. We don't have to sell you on that. This is an easy one. Here's the fear of the Braves. No lead is safe. I don't think people have realized the Braves have been down 8-2, 6-3, and they just come back and win, Steve. Like, any inning, they could score 8 runs. It's crazy. Like, that, it's amazing. So, I've been very pleased with our offense. God, I hope Strider is mostly okay. We can get him back somewhere in the middle of the season, I'd take that, Stevie, as long as he's 100% healthy. And if Chris Sale is healthy, Stevie, if Chris Sale is healthy in August, I'm going to count that as a win for the pitching staff. If he's healthy in August, win, win, win. And old man Charlie Morton will keep going. If Max Freed can figure out whatever's going on with him, I think we'll be all right. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on my fan rant. Play the Braves next game.
I just want to point out Atlanta's expensive on DK. Kelnick at 3,800 is a great price tag. And Harris, towards the bottom of the order, but both of these guys have plenty of power and upside. So I just wanted to, Atlanta, love Atlanta. You know, I'm not going to sit here and, like you said, I don't need to break down the stats. It's a great spot for them. But I just wanted to point out, Kelnick and Harris, because they are on the cheaper side. And I think that being down in the order, maybe they have a little bit lower ownership. Probably not, though. I mean, this is going to be a spot. Atlanta is going to be popular. And they should be. They really should be. All right, Dodgers and Twins, 8.5 total in this game. Dodgers a 146 favorite. Paxton against Ober. Let's talk James Paxton here at 8,700. Any interest here in him?
Stevie, I do have interest. This caught me off guard, I must say. And I think it caught a lot of us off guard. Stevie, Paxton with 97 pitches in his first start this season.
Yeah.
I was actually expecting somewhere in the 80s-ish, 83 to 85. So for him to come out, and maybe they were just trying to let him close it out, but for him to come out and pick up 97 pitches, you know, Minnesota is a team already this season that has been striking out a bit now, probably more sort of righties than lefties, but even still, I think this is a good spot for Paxton. 8,700, Stevie. I really liked him a ton. And Derek said something. He said pitchers seem more stretched out than normal this season. A lot of them are. They didn't have the WBC this year, so they went through a full spring training. So some of these guys got 5 starts in spring training. Some of them, not all of them. Some got 4. And I think everybody was more ready to go after the rule. They were ready for the rule changes. It wasn't, you know, something that snuck up on them and they had to kind of work through. They were ready for it. So I think all those things contributed to a lot of these pitchers being more ready. I still think they'll clean up some of their mechanics and get better middle of the season. But absolutely, a lot of these guys started out going 80, 90 pitches.
Yeah, so he struggled a little with command in that start against San Francisco, which is a little concerning. He had stretched out to 83 pitches in his final spring training, mm-hmm. bullpen/game. So I thought 90 was doable. Never thought 97 was doable. I like Paxton a lot today. He might be my favorite pitcher on the slate. So, I mean, if you're considering price, right? You have to consider price. 8,600 on FanDuel, 8,700 on DK. You know, obviously you got Snell. You have some of these guys that we talked about already with Luis Castillo and Berrios. Those guys are all more expensive than him on FanDuel. So this is a good spot for Paxton. You look at Minnesota, and they're not going to be able to get all the left-handed hitters out of this lineup. Julian's going to hit. He's a lefty. They typically play Kirilloff and Kepler. Mm-hmm. So we're potentially looking at 3 to 5 left-handed hitters here. I think it's probably more on the 3 side, but Paxton's, I mean, even through his struggles in his career, has always been a lead against left-handed hitters. So love this spot for Paxton. I think this is a great spot. You know, you worry a little bit about the command, but I mean, first start of the season, I'm willing to give him a little bit of a pass here because you look back and he didn't really walk people at a high rate last year, 8% walk rate in 411 plate appearances. So I think it's more of that first start, new catcher, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I like Paxton a lot. Ober on the other side here, I'm sorry, man, or the Dodgers today. I'm probably going to have to pass on playing you.
Yeah, I'm not playing Bailey Ober. And Stevie, the funny part about it is he got Kansas City's first start. He went 1.1 innings. Now, you know, all spots aren't created equal and all teams aren't created equal. Kansas City is not as bad as they've been in the past 2 or 3 seasons. I think they're going to be much more improved, Stevie. Will they go to the playoffs? A whole lot of TBD, but I definitely think their team is better. And I just, I don't see how Bailey Ober pitches around the Dodgers. I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I no. There's no chance I'm playing him. Like you said, he got absolutely shelled by Kansas City in that start, and now he has to face the Dodgers. Like, nope, hard pass. Let's talk Dodgers bats. See, I think the Dodgers potentially set up as a pivot off of Arizona and Atlanta as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I said when we were starting this slate, and I was like, there's plenty of teams to play today. That's because there is. I mean, the Dodgers are in a great spot. They're expensive, but they should get some of these bats in there. Love Max Muncy's price today. Got the day off on Sunday. Gets to come out here fresh. And, I mean, I like the price tag for him quite a bit. And Gavin Lux hasn't been great to start the season, but he's still really cheap. He helps kind of make the stack work. And I'm willing to play really anybody that cracks the lineup today against Bailey Ober.
Yeah, same here, man. I mean, my boy Hayward went to the IL. He was like my sneaky cheap bat, Stevie, that I would kind of plug in some of these stacks at the bottom of the order. He was back somewhere around 7 to 8. Can't use him now, and that's okay. But I still think, Stevie, with this lineup, you know, you can get Ohtani and Freeman in if you want to, along with Betts, but it's going to cost you. You're going to need a cheap pitcher. I don't think that's completely optimal. But I think you can get one of the three in with ease, Stevie, plus some of the others, like Outman, like Muncy, like Will Smith, if you want to do that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I think there are ways to build this lineup out. And if Ober's as bad in this start as he was in his first start, he probably won't be this bad. He could be, but I'm going to assume he's not as bad. It won't matter where you pick guys from out of the lineup, Steven. Hits were coming from all over the place. So that's what I like about this spot. You can run the bottom of the order and wrap around with one of the big bats and still have the production you need.
One thing I want to point out, and it's still very early, very small sample size, Minnesota's bullpen has been one of the best bullpens to start the season. If the Dodgers get out to kind of what you, if the Dodgers do what you want them to do stack wise and they get out in this game anyway, you're not going to get the good part of the bullpen, so it doesn't really matter. But just something to keep in the back of your head as we keep rolling here and kind of watching the numbers just in general. Minnesota's bullpen's been legit. So, all right, let's talk about the Minnesota bats here against Paxton. Anybody that you want to play here against Paxton?
No, I'm going to pass, Stevie. Like, look, obviously, you know, anybody can get a hold of anything. Byron Buxton could get one off anybody. Correa could get one off anybody. But I'm not worried about it, man. I'm going to let it ride. So I'm fading.
If you punt catcher on non-Paxton teams, Vasquez, if he draws the start here, always good power against lefties. Used to play with the Red Sox, so. You know, if you want to look at some power upside at catcher on teams you're not playing Paxton, if Vasquez starts this game, he's playable here. All right, we got Philadelphia at St. Louis, 8.5 total, kind of a pick'em game. Spencer Turnbull against Miles Mikolas. Any interest here in Spencer Turnbull?
Yeah, man, at 6,900, I've got some interest. I've seen way too many strikeouts from Nolan Arenado. I think St. Louis will be okay. I'm not going to write them off yet as being like a terrible team, but something's going on there. Turnbull is 6,900. I think he's probably, Stevie, one of the cheaper guys today that people are going to have some interest in. So I like him quite a bit. I may even like him more than Berrios.
Yeah, St. Louis has been awful to start the season. They're one of a few teams that have an ISO under 100 against right-handed pitching. So the thing with Turnbull, so Will, I had to do my due diligence, right? Like, the people expect me to give them some pitching updates here. So Spencer Turnbull, 7 ground balls, 7 strikeouts. Like, that's not Spencer Turnbull. So did a little digging and just getting more break on the curveball in that first start. Velocity was up a tick, but not a ton. So, I mean, if he could continue to generate the movement on the curveball in this spot, he should pitch well. I mean, St. Louis, like you said, they've kind of stunk. They're not walking. They're free swinging. Derek's in chat. He'll tell us. His Cardinals are off to a really shaky start. So My only concern here, Will, is Spencer Turnbull is everybody's cheap play, and he gains a lot of steam throughout the day. A chalk Spencer Turnbull scares me, even as bad as the Cardinals have been. So if he starts to get chalky, I might lower my ownership a little bit. But I was shocked when I saw this game, and I was like, it's a pick'em, and St. Louis is kind of favored at minus 118 because Miles Mikolas stinks. Okay, the Cardinals' bats have been bad. And you look at the Phillies' bats, and outside of Schwarber and Harper, this team's off to kind of a slow start, not a ton of power. But what are your thoughts here when it comes to Miles Mikolas?
I won't be playing Miles Mikolas today. I know he kind of pitched around San Diego, but he still gave up 7 hits, Stevie. Like, it's not like he got
not missing bats.
Yeah. I mean, nothing really changed between those two performances except BABIP. Everything else was almost identical. So I'm not being fooled here. Definitely not playing Miles Mikolas.
Well, at like one point of his career, we like played Miles Mikolas to like go out and generate soft contact and ground balls. He's not doing either one of those things right now. And we started to see that trend last year. He had a 48% hard hit rate last season. So yeah, I mean, Mikolas for me, even at 5,300, is going to be a pass. Philadelphia is another team that I really like today. You know, again, like, I think that we got plenty of bats. We got plenty of pitching. This makes for a fun slate. 9 games, great slate. I'll let you go first here. What do you like for Philadelphia?
Stevie, I'm starting to hate Philly a little bit because I feel like I've been on them almost every start, and they keep disappointing me, but I know it's coming. But give me Schwarber. I don't hate Schwarber. Obviously, give me Harper. I don't hate Harper. Those are two bets I don't have to sell you on, Stevie. I'm assuming Bryson Stott plays today. I don't think he sits. So he's 4,200. I think he'll be there. Trey Turner, 5,800. Give me him, Stevie. Like the fact that, you know, he might be able to run a little bit today. Not saying that Mikolas is, you know, just giving up gobs of steals, but a guy that's going to pound the strike zone, Stevie, and give Turner a chance to get on base, right? He's not going to be blowing too many balls by him, so Turner's going to have a chance to see some good pitches. If he can get on base, I think he's got a shot at some really nice upside here. So like the Phillies today and like those handful of bats that I discussed.
Yeah, Philadelphia is definitely going to be a 5-man stack that I like today. This is a team that – or, like, the more we go through the slate, the more I might build, like, 4-4s than 5-3s today, just in general. So, I mean, I might mirror everything you say. I really like Stott. He's a guy that I was going to bring up that I really like. The only other guy that you didn't bring up that I really like today is Brandon Marsh, 3,600, off to a really strong start to start the season. So Marsh is another guy that I don't mind playing. And, you know, he's another guy that offers you some home run, stone base upside like Turner.
Yeah.
St. Louis. I mean, this is the problem, right? Like, the problem is, like, we just don't want to play any of these bats right now. I mean, anything here on the Cardinals?
Oh, man. I don't think so, Stevie. And I feel like I may end up regretting it, but I'm going to live with the results. Once again, I do feel like, Stevie, sometimes, like, first, you just have to go with what your eyes are showing you. And right now, St. Louis is not a good offensive team. And if you got Spencer Turnbull being a reasonable pitcher today, I just don't think St. Louis is able to run the score up. I'm fading this team.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Donovan is a guy that I've been playing as a one-off. He's like the one bright spot right now of this team. Multiple hits in 3 of his last 5 games. Just really solid, still under 4K over there on DraftKings, and should continue to hit leadoff. So, like,
Donovan can get as many hits as he wants. Nobody's bringing him home.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. So it's a great point. I don't mind Gorman. Gorman's going to eventually get going too. And this is more of also just thinking of, hey, Turnbull might be getting some ownership today. Maybe I play like a little 3-man of Gorman, Donovan, and whoever catches. Like, Contreras is banged up right now. So, like, if he's out, then I get a cheap catcher and I'm looking at this as like a very cheap like mini stack. So, and if I'll be honest, man, if Turnbull gets a lot of steam and we see him really chalky, I might hedge stack because I'm going to play some Turnbull. So I might hedge stack. I might build one of my like five teams with like a hedge St. Louis stack and just say, hey, maybe the Cardinals have it today. They haven't had it all season, but hey, today's the day, St. Louis.
I think I played St. Louis in one start, Steven. I think they did score six or seven runs, but I can't remember. I think that actually might have been like a four-game slate, Stevie. Some weird slate where they actually scored some runs and you had to have them, and I did. Almost won, but, you know, close but no cigar.
All right, Houston at Texas. Yes, it drives me crazy every single time. Sorry. 9.5 total. Houston's a 130 favorite. I don't understand this line. Framber Valdez, Andrew Heaney. I get Texas is a good team, but when you look at the two pitchers that are pitching in this game and you're like Valdez against Heaney and this game's minus 130, all right. Any interest here in Framber Valdez?
Stevie, I think he's okay. I'm not sure yet, and I hate to not know like right now. My mind's telling me no. My body's telling me yes. I don't think I get the Framber today, Stevie, because I think I'm sad to say, I think I'll end up way cheaper than him or more expensive than him with like Paxton, Eflin, Castillo. Like, I don't think I need him today. I don't think it's okay. I don't think it's worth the risk against the Texas Rangers. And that's what it comes down to, even though he's 8K.
So here's my thoughts on Valdez right now. My thoughts on Valdez is I don't necessarily like Valdez in general. He's a really good real-life pitcher. But DFS-wise, he doesn't typically have a ton of ceiling. I will say this about Valdez. He is elite against lefties. 32% K rate last season, 62% ground balls. Very, very little barrels, good swinging strike stuff. So I kind of want to wait and see the lineup because they're going to have Seager in there. They're going to have Evan Carter in there. Do they leave Jared Walsh in there? Is Josh Smith going to have – because they're dealing with some injuries right now. So, like, is Josh Smith going to have to play? Is Jankowski going to have to play? So if he gets, like, four or five lefties and I can see, like, his like four strikeouts maybe turning into six. Valdez is efficient. So I could see him having like 6 to 7 really good innings. And if we can get that like 5 or 6 strikeouts, maybe. But I mean, you still got to get around like Garcia, Wyatt Langford, Marcus Semien. Heim is a good, you know, he's good from the right side of the plate. So it's really going to come down the lineup for me on Valdez. And I think that is kind of how you have to approach him on this slate. You got to look and see what Texas is doing. Any interest here in Andrew Heaney?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
not against Houston, man.
Yeah, look at the start against Tampa. I mean, good strikeout stuff. 35% Ks in that start. He had 16.7% swinging strike rate. And I think that's just more of like Tampa's lineup. They're striking out a lot to start the season. And they're just missing that like it factor right now in Tampa Bay. So I think I'm out on Heaney. And like you said, this lineup is really good against left-handed pitching. I think this is a really tough spot. And Will, let's add another team that I like again today. Let's talk about the Houston Astros.
Yeah, man, love the Astros. Honestly, Stevie, the Astros are probably the team I've played the most so far this season. I've played them more than the Braves, I think, to be quite honest. Them in Arizona, maybe, I think. But I've played a whole lot of these teams. But, Stevie, the Astros, they just keep raking, man. And when you're telling me you're going to give me Altuve against a lefty, you know, you're giving me – and, of course, Stevie – Yadier Diaz, the catcher, he's been good. Cooled off a little bit here in the past couple of games. That's okay. You know, you're giving me Bregman, who, while he hasn't flashed big upside yet, man, I got to think it's coming at some point. You know, McCormick, all these guys. I just Myers. They got so many guys, Stevie. I just think this is a big time spot for them, especially for a guy like Heaney, who, while he does have to strike an upside, can get erratic with his control. And if you start walking the Houston Astros, you're in a world of trouble. You're basically asking for runs to come home. So really like the Astros here. I think this is the spot they could get off.
Yeah, and he doesn't typically pitch deep into games. Let's talk about the Texas bats. One thing that I've already noticed to start the season is just how bad the Houston bullpen has been. I think, like, if you – I hate stacking against Valdez because he's just a good ground ball guy. So I don't know if this is the spot I stack against Valdez. But, man, if you can get Valdez out in, like, the fourth or fifth inning of this game and he just doesn't have it today, this stack has a tremendous amount of upside. And we're kind of seeing that here with this game as far as, like, Houston being a 130 favorite with Heaney and Valdez facing off against each other. But what are your thoughts on the Texas bats?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind a one-off on Garcia. I don't mind a one-off on Simeon, like, Steve, you know, some of these righties here. But Garcia, for me, even if I'm playing, even if I was playing Valdez, I'd have some Garcia here, Stevie. I mean, this guy can rake against righty lefty. So I'm in on him, but I'm not stacking Texas today for sure.
All right, let's go to Coors. Arizona at Colorado, 10.5 total in this game. Arizona a 174 favorite. Zach Gallen, Kyle Freeland. Any interest here in Zach Gallen?
I do have interest in Zach Gallen, Stevie. One of the things, as much as I am anti-Coors, and you already know I'm fading Arizona today for what it's worth.
That's a terrible decision.
It is, but that's how I play. Because Arizona's going to be through the roof.
Not today.
You think because of the prices?
No, I just think because there's like four or five really good stacks and really good spots. I mean, sure, okay. It's cores, but I don't think they're going to be as chalky as normal here. Because like FanDuel for sure, because FanDuel priced Arizona up a ton. DraftKings, like, you'll get the ownership on guys like Alexander, who's really cheap, Grichik, who's really cheap. So, I mean, those guys will have ownership, but I don't think you're going to see a ton of ownership on like Carroll, Gurriel, Marte, like those guys are.
They sat him against a lefty last start.
There is no chance they're sitting him against Kyle Freeland. Freeland throws mush balls. I'm just saying, you do you, and I respect you and how you play. There is zero chance that I'm fading Arizona today. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, I'm not fading Zach Gallen. So, see, here's the thing, Stevie. Here's probably where I differ a little bit. Oftentimes, we don't want to play pitchers in Coors, but we'll load up on the bats. I'm totally opposite. I'll fade the bats all day. Colorado is just not good. It doesn't matter. You're giving me Zach Gallen at 8,200. Stevie, you know, last outing against the Yankees, 96 pitches. I don't even care about the fact that he went 6 innings, 6 Ks. I like the fact that he went 96 pitches, which means he stretched. He's now getting a better matchup. Yes, I know in Coors, like, I get it. I know the ball isn't going to have the same drop. Like, I get that. But Gallen against Colorado, whether he's in Coors, Citi Field, Truist Field, the Great American Small Park, I play him in any of those spots. Zach Gallen is actually one of my favorite pitchers today at 8,200 because of the price deduction he's getting. If they were in Arizona, Stevie, he'd be 9,500 in this spot, guaranteed. I love Zach Gallen today.
So for me, he throws a slider, a changeup. He's not going to get as much break on his curveball, which is kind of his like go-to out pitch. I like Zach Gallen. I'm just worried a little bit here. Like, the other thing that in the back of my head that worries me in this spot is he's facing Colorado for the second time in his three starts. Like, this is a guy that has already pitched against this team once this year. So, like, I'm a little concerned about that as well. But overall, if he's going to be lower owned, he's $1,000 too cheap. So if he's going to be lower owned, I'm definitely interested in playing some Zach Gallen. Do you have any interest here in playing this guy named Kyle Freeland?
No.
Yeah. Don't do that. Whether you want to take a stand or not on this team, sure, I get it, kind of. Talk to me here about Arizona Bats.
Yeah, so look, folks, you know, Chief isn't crazy, okay? I don't play Bats in
Coors. You're crazy for fading Arizona in Coors against Kyle Freeland. Yes, I will speak for chat. Chat is going to call you crazy too, but I'm going to tell you right now, okay, it's the first game at elevation for Arizona. You can have that argument. But Kyle Freeland stinks. He doesn't miss bats. I can hit off Kyle Freeland. Like, set it up. Whoever listens to the podcast that's friends with Kyle Freeland, set it up. I'm taking Kyle Freeland deep.
I like it. I might actually be able to hit one, scrape one off Kyle Freeland. Now, I wasn't a power hitter, Stevie. I was going to poke it through above the shortstop, above the first baseman off the bag. Like, that's kind of stuff. Those are my kind of hits. And I was going to beat you. I was going to beat you with speed and precision, not power. But my point is this. I think Arizona's fine here today, Stevie. Like, I'm not telling anyone to not play Coors. People just know I don't play Coors. But I can't convince anyone to not play Gurriel and Walker, Moreno, you know, Eugenio Suarez, Marte. You need to be playing these guys. It's a great spot for them. I'm just not playing them because I typically fade Coors because of ownership. Now, once again, Stevie, I fade them because of ownership. If we pull up this lane and somehow the Arizona Diamondbacks are down here in the 7 and 8% range, we got a totally different conversation here because now you're telling me you're not going to play them, and that makes me very happy.
I still think they're the highest owned stack on the slate. I just don't think they're going to be as high as they would be. Like, we have Atlanta, we have the Dodgers, we have Philly, we have Houston. Yeah. We've already talked about some of these, like, ginormous stacks. So I just think that they could offset the ownership a little bit.
And the Mets, if you're playing the whole angle in the Atlanta game.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Walker is the top hitter on the slate today. He absolutely smashes left-handed pitching. This should be a walk in the park for him. Grichik is too cheap. He's going to be one of the highest owned guys on the slate. Gary L is a guy that has just started the season off super on fire. So, I mean, all these guys. There's not a guy, you know, Blaze Alexander, cheap shortstop that potentially cracks the lineup here.
Just Blaze.
The guy that I think I'd fade here is Marino. And it's more of like, he's kind of expensive for me for a catcher. I like 3,200, 3,500 kind of range. So maybe I'm underweight on Marino here. Maybe that's my core stand. So he's going to hit two home runs. Let's go to the other side here. Again, the Rockies stink. They're not a good offense, but they're a lot better at home. Shocking. When you play in Coors Field, you're better at home. Not only because of the altitude and how the ball travels, but they have a huge ballpark. You can hit a double that turns into a triple in this ballpark quite easily. So if Gallen gets steamed up a little bit, I don't mind maybe looking at the Rockies. I don't mind looking at the Rockies. I don't in general here, just because you don't typically get like Rockies under 5%, and I think they're going to be pretty low owned on the slate.
Oh yeah, I'm not playing any Rockies. I don't think Gallen's going to get as much ownership today, so even though he's cheap. You know, people don't like to play pitchers in Coors; they just don't.
I think the field and like Sims are way sharper than it was 3 years ago. Like, just in general,
I agree.
And yes. I feel like he'll project well because of how bad the Rockies are. So, I mean, you look at the Rockies lineup and they have five or six guys with strikeout rates over 25% against righties. So, like, Sim projections are going to, and projections in general, are going to be spitting him out here. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't hate the Rockies today. They're not overly expensive. I don't hate it. Tampa Bay at LA taking on the Angels, though. We got Zach Eflin and Tyler Anderson, 8 total. Tampa's a 138 favorite here on the road. Any interest in Zach Eflin?
Yeah, I do like Zach Elflin today, Stevie. 9K. This is a guy that they haven't let him pitch past 90 pitches yet, Stevie. I mean, he hadn't even hit 85 pitches. But this is a guy that can keep the ball on the ground when he needs to, and he has some strikeout ability. And we do know that there are a handful of strikeouts or some strikeouts in this LA Angels offense, including Mike Trout, who started out the season around 30%, a 30% carry. That won't stay there, but the fact still remains that there's some strikeouts in this lineup. I like Eflin today at 9K, Stevie. And I don't think he picks up as much ownership as, say, a guy like Castillo because of the name value. But I like Eflin. 9K, I'm in.
I'm on the fence with him. Tampa has been very careful with their pitchers and how deep they're letting guys go. He got in a little bit of trouble in that Texas game when he was at 83. So I'm just kind of thinking potentially like he just got in trouble and they're like, they pulled him because of that and not because he was at like 83 pitches. But I like playing pitchers against the Angels right now. So like Eflin's on my list. It's just whether or not like he ends up in a lot of my lineups or not. Like his Sierra and XFIP way better than his ERA, kind of got beat up in that Toronto game. But I don't mind Eflin in this spot. Throws a lot of strikes. Like you said, there's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. Not a very patient lineup outside the top half. Other side, Tyler Anderson. Any interest here in Anderson?
No, I don't need to play Tyler Anderson today. I mean, I know he had a really good outing against the Miami Marlins, but that was about as good of a Tyler Anderson outing as you're going to get, Stevie. So I'm not being fooled here. Anderson isn't some guy that we're going to be rostering. And 7,600, he's more than Berrios. No way.
I am so on the fence on this guy today. Like, I don't know. I was looking into what happened in that first start, and like, the dude just had an elite changeup in that start against Miami. Like his changeup had a 50% whiff rate and a 41% put away percentage. Like that's massive. Like when you're throwing that pitch as much as he threw that pitch in that game and like generating as much as he did as far as whiffs and outs, like he struck out all five guys with the changeup. So he just really kind of used like his four seamer and cutter to get ahead and just put hitters away like with the changeup. So like I don't know, it was a little bit more velocity on his changeup than in the last couple of years, so I thought that was a little bit interesting. And I mean, spin wise it had a little bit more spin, but it really wasn't like a huge difference. But I don't know, Will, like looking at it for me, I'm like somewhat intrigued just because like I don't think Tampa is great to start the season. Like there's a lot of holes in this lineup, and who did we just talk about that like faced them and pitched really well? Oh my gosh, who's the lefty that just faced Tampa? Heaney. So it, when you could kind of compare like Heaney's talents to like Anderson, maybe Heaney's a little bit better, but I don't know. I'm a little intrigued by Anderson today. I think there's some strikeouts in this lineup, so I'm going to dig into it a little bit more. Again, this is a first look, but at first glance, like I'm somewhat interested in, like I'm pulling up Tampa against left-handed pitching this season. They're like right. I mean, they're under 100 ISO. They're striking out 27% of the time.
It should come up for them, but not right. But you're right. They have been striking out for sure.
I think I'm a little interested in Anderson here as a low-owned SP2 type play. I mean, he threw seven really good innings against, like, efficient 83 pitches, seven innings against Miami. I don't know. I'm somewhat interested in this. I need to dig into Anderson again, or like Tampa against changeups, and see like, is it potentially going to be an effective pitch against this offense? And I'll do that in the morning when I have more time. But any interest here in the Tampa bats?
Not really. I don't want to play Tampa bats either. I just felt like Anderson might have been priced a little bit too high. And Berrios is kind of my litmus test today for anybody I want to play under him. So if they're not, or above him. So if they're not, if I don't feel like they're better than Berrios, then they're probably getting cut out. So that's just where I landed on Anderson B. I'm not thrilled about playing Tampa Bay today.
I'm so intrigued by Anderson. I don't know. I don't. As of right now, I don't have a ton of interest.
Rabbit hole, man. I hop on Baseball Savant sometime and I go down a rabbit hole, then I'm stuck. So I'm not saying you're on Baseball Savant, but that's my rabbit hole. So
No. Everyone knows where I'm at. I'm looking more at, like, this seems awful against changeups, man. I don't know. I'm going to dig into this more, but, like, at first glance, Anderson could pitch really well here, and I don't expect him to get a ton of ownership. I don't really have a ton of interest in Tampa. If I was playing Tampa, it'd be Diaz, a Rosarina, and they're so expensive that I just feel like there's better spots. Paredes is okay at his price, and the other guy I wanted to point out is Jose Siri. He gives you, like, that stolen base upside. He is much better against lefties, so, like, you could potentially take a shot on him, and he's cheap enough where if he gets you a hit and a stolen base and a run scored and gets you 10 points, it's not going to kill you. So I don't mind that. And I'm really intrigued by Anderson. I'm going to be doing some digging on this one. The things you find on the morning grind. Any interest here in the Angels bats?
Negative. This whole game is pretty much a scratch off from the outside of the pitching. So too many offenses, Stevie, for me to be worried about Tampa Bay and the Angels today, even with Mike Trout.
Thing is, like, Mike Trout's not going to get any ownership today. And as much as he's been striking out, like, Mike Trout, a healthy Mike Trout to start the season, I think he has 4 home runs already. He's stolen some bases. Like,
yeah.
He's one of a few guys that can get you 30 plus that's not in Coors, right? Like, he's that type of guy. So,
Mike Trout doesn't play for the Dodgers yet. They're just buying everybody.
I mean, Dodgers are going to be tough to beat this year, buddy. Yeah, I mean, for me on the Angels, Ward and Trout are the only two guys that I like to play. They're like the two hitters that continue to produce. One of the reasons that we have interest in Eflin is because the Angels lineup hasn't been great. Cubs and Padres, 7.5 total. Padres, a 138 favorite. Javier Assad against Yu Darvish. Any interest here in Assad?
Man, maybe, Stevie. Like, San Diego still, they haven't been a crazy high strikeout team to start the season. At least the last day I checked, I don't think they had. I think they're a little bit higher than last season. Like, I know, what's his name? Is it Kim? Ha-Seong Kim, I think. Mm-hmm. It's striking out a little bit more than usual. But overall, I still think they're pretty close to where they're going to be. And I think that will normalize. Once again, is the side better than Berrios today? I don't think so. So I don't think I'm going to pull the trigger. And I don't dislike Assad. I think San Diego is good enough to keep him in check here.
So I think Assad got the Rockies last time out. Exactly. in really good pitching conditions. And I think a lot of people liked him. I think I played him a little bit. I know Cheese liked him. Way different spot in this one. Yeah. San Diego is the, like you mentioned, they're the lowest strikeout team in baseball right now against right-handed pitching to start the season. They have a 16.9% team strikeout rate against righties. Damn. Like, and this guy, he doesn't necessarily have, like, overpowering stuff. He got hit really hard. He only had a 5.6% swinging strike rate in that first game against Colorado. It's just the Rockies aren't very good, and the hitting conditions in that game were awful. Yeezy asked me Assad or Anderson. Right now, I think I'd pick Anderson over Assad today. I don't think, like, I don't like Assad at all. Think I'm out on Assad.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
I feel like it was just a situation play last time out. Like, he had a great matchup, he had good pitching weather. I just think it was a situation play more than it was. We wanted to actually feel good about rostering Javier Assad last time out.
Yeah.
Sure. Any interest here in you, Darvish?
I'm just okay on Darvish, Steve. I mean, listen, man, this is a guy that I personally do like guys that know how to pitch, Stevie. Like, you, Darvish knows how to pitch. He's been around the league. You know, he's pitched for the Cubs. So this is a guy that's been around. He's a professional pitcher. pitch count is coming up. I suspect he'll get somewhere around 88 pitches in this start, Stevie. And I think he'll be fine. Does he have as much upside as, you know, some other guys on the slate? Maybe. I think he goes in my pool just because I know he can do it, Stevie, not because I feel like he's absolutely going to go out here and mow down the Cubs today.
I don't hate it. I don't love it.
Yeah, I'm like, exactly.
He's okay today. And the thing that I don't like about Darvish is he's been really good, like the first and second, like first, second times through the lineup. And then like the third time I watched that Cardinals start, his command is still not there. Like he only had one walk in that game, but the command, like it's still not like there. He's still missing pitches and you could tell that he's missing pitches and the Cardinals weren't good enough to take advantage of it. Thing is, I don't know if the Cubs are good enough to take advantage of it, but they have some major league hitters at the top of this order. So yeah. I think Darvish is okay. I like Castillo, Paxton, some of these other guys more than I like Darvish today. But I don't think he's a bad play. This game has a low total for a reason, you know. So, bats, any Cubs bats here?
Yeah, I'm not going to play the Cubs today. You know, once again, I respect Darvish enough to, I don't think the Cubs beat him up. That's really what it is, Stevie. Like, I don't see them scoring 10 runs here. They might score 3-4 max. I don't see 10 runs here from the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, I could see like a one-off Bellinger. The only problem is that Bellinger was really expensive. I haven't even checked. Yeah, he's 5,400. Like Darvish has been giving up a ton of hard contact to start the season. Some of the matchups he's faced kind of have helped with that. So like if Bellinger was cheap, I don't have FanDuel and Yahoo pulled up in front of me. Like if you could get Bellinger as a cheap one-off, like Bellinger's 3,200 on FanDuel. If I end up in that range, it was like an outfield, like one-off, I would play Bellinger in that spot. Because I do think Bellinger has the upside to take Darvish yard. I don't necessarily want to play Suzuki, even though he's been super hot to start the season. He's 3,600 over there and 4,700 on DraftKings. So I just feel like you're not going to get Suzuki at a good price tag. Those would be the two guys I'd be interested in if you wanted to just like throw away salary. Any interest here in the Padres?
Steve, I've been playing the Padres all season. I do think this is a spot where they could take advantage of Assad. I'm not going to get weary just yet, Stevie. Low K rates, some power's there. Ballpark's not great. But, man, they got to start taking advantage of some of these weaker pitchers, and I don't want to miss out. So I'm stacking the Padres for that reason, Stevie.
Kind of like the Padres too. The more that we like go through like talking about Assad not being a guy that is going to overpower teams, the more I kind of have interest in like Javier Assad was like everybody's darling his first start. So maybe he just gets some ownership here today when he really shouldn't. So, I mean, looking at his numbers last year, he gave up 55% hard hits and had a 7.6% swinging strike rate. So I could see, you know, a lot of hard hit balls here. Padres not going to get a ton of ownership. Maybe they're like your late hammer. I like the Giants too. We'll talk about them in a second, but I don't mind the Padres today. I'd probably end up more like three-man stacking the Padres, or like I said earlier, I kind of like the 4-4 stacks today. So maybe like a secondary 4-4 three-man stack for Padres. All right, finish it out. Washington at San Francisco, 7.5 total. Snell and Williams. Snell's a 225 favorite here in his first start of the season. Trevor Williams first. Trevor Williams actually was decent against Pittsburgh in his first start, generated some ground balls, and just kind of got out of some innings. Any interest here in Williams?
No.
Yeah, he's not a great pitcher. BABIP was definitely friendly to him in that first start of the season. Like, kind of looking at like his numbers on last year, like, 16.9% Ks and a lot of hard contact with very, very little whiffs. And I mean, that could hurt you, especially like how well Conforto has started the season.
Yeah.
Snell, first start of the season, 10-3, did the extended spring training, So he threw an extra spring training game and then threw a simulated game, I think, on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, he threw one for sure. Yeah, he threw one for sure.
I think Snell throws 80 to 85 pitches. That is my guesstimate. I could see under. I could see a little over. But if I had to guess, like, personally, I'd say 80 to 85 pitches here for Snell.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And then our next question, Stevie, is that enough for him to blow past Washington? It just might be.
Yeah, I was going to say it might be enough.
Yeah, it just might be. So here's my kind of range for Snell, Stephen. I don't want you to chime in on this. I know you will. I think we either need something like 5 innings, 8 Ks, or like for FanDuel, you might need something like 6 innings, 7 K, 8 Ks, gives up 2. Like you're gonna need some way to balance out the price for it to work. If he goes 5 innings, 8 Ks clean, he's probably still pretty close, especially because he can qualify for the win if he gets the win. But I think that's kind of what you'll need, Stevie, to justify 10-3, because I don't think if he doesn't quite go the distance, I still think there are guys that could outscore him on this slate. And that's really where I'm at with Snell. I think I'm going to play him because of the spot and because he is, in fact, probably the best, one of the best pitchers on the slate. And just in case, Stevie, he goes the distance, I want to have some exposure. But I'm not going to be overexposed, to say the least.
Washington has 103 plate appearances as a team against left-handed pitching this season. They have a 31 WRC plus, 31. League average is like 110 against left-handed pitching this season. They have a 31 WRC plus. They have a 215 WOBA. They have a 0.074 ISO. They've been awful against left-handed pitching. Blake Snell, worth the price of admission today. 74 pitches in that extended spring training start. I just looked it up. So maybe he pushes 85 to 90 pitches here. I think 5 innings is kind of what they're shooting for here with Snell. Home start, first started with his new big team, big league team. And yeah, I mean, think Snell's
they're
great.
Excited and he's excited.
This is a good
spot. A match made in heaven for them, really.
Yeah, good ballpark, too. It goes from a good ballpark to a good ballpark. So yeah, I like Snell. 10-3 is a tough ask, but I do think like he's worth it. I mean, I might prioritize bats today, though, because there's so many good hitting. So like I might end up on under on Snell just because I'm prioritizing bats.
Yeah,
I have no interest in the Washington bats here. I like Lane Thomas against lefties. I'm not going to one-off Lane Thomas against Blake Snell.
Yep, no Washington bats for me.
Let's talk Giants. I have some interest in the Giants today. I don't think Williams is good, and I think Conforto is really underpriced for how well he's kind of started the season here. Like he's averaging, he has a 350 average. He's hit 3 home runs already, and he just continues to produce. Thoughts on the Giants?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up Conforto, Stevie, because I mean he started out the season in the 3K range and you know, right at 4K now. I like him. I like Soler. Jung Hoo Lee. I know he's more of an on-base guy, but this is a spot for him, Stevie. I'm telling you right now. You know, he came over from the KBO as well. If Williams isn't going to be the blow the ball by him at all, like he could be Stephen Kwan 3-for-3, 4-for-4 in this spot. No kidding. So I really like Jung Hoo Lee to kind of be the table setter here. He should be able to – he has, in my opinion – he has good run equity today, Stevie. I might even take a prop on him over a half a run. I think he can get to home plate today. So really like him. Don't hate Yaz. Of course, man, Chapman 3,900, Stevie. Still pretty cheap. Like him. This is a really good team to stat today. I'm with you. You know, the ballpark, I know it's not the best ballpark in the league, but they're facing Trevor Williams. Give me the Giants today.
Well, I mean, just looking at the pricing, Bailey's 3,200 on DK, Conforto's 4K, Chapman's 3,900, Lee is 4,100, Soler is 4,300. So if I'm using them as a secondary stack, whether I do 4-4s or 5-3s, I don't necessarily need them to go out and hit 3 home runs. Hey, it would be fantastic, but I'm playing them more because I do think they're just going to beat up on Williams here. Washington bullpen, still not good. We talked about it a ton last year. So I like this spot for San Francisco as just a cheaper stack that kind of makes everything work. I'm very much interested in the Giants here. Fun, man. I know it ran a little over an hour. Try to keep the podcast under an hour, but fun 9-game slate. Still early in the season. We got a lot to talk about, and we'll get through these faster as the season goes along. But let's play the morning grind game. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button over there on the RotoGrinders Morning Grind YouTube page. Turn on notifications and come hang out with us live. It's a lot of fun having chat going as we're doing the show. Will, DK pricing under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got today?
I think we have a lot of options, Stevie, or some good options. Let me say that. I'm going with Turnbull. I'm going to go with who I think is going to be the darling of the slate. Give me Turnbull at 6,900.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go Berrios. I'm very interested in looking into Tyler Anderson. I don't have time to do that right this second, but give me Berrios against a very strikeout-heavy Seattle team. Over 8K to score under 15, who is your bust today?
Over 8K, under 15. I'm really not thrilled about any of these guys, Stevie. I'm going to go right at 8K, though. Give me Valdez.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go Charlie Morton. I feel like it's more of just a price thing. I'm never paying 10K for Charlie Morton on this slate. So I hope he scores under 15. Like, he might not. He probably ends up in, like, the 18 to 22 range. And I'm still okay with that because, yeah. I mean, he's 10K. Like, Morton's just a guy that I'm not going to play today, so I'm hoping he scores under 15. Over 4K to hit a home run, not in cores. Who do you got going yard today?
See, we got a lot of options here. I'm going with someone that I really like against a guy that can't blow the ball past anybody. Give me Bryce Harper at 5,700. Love him against Mikolas today.
Well, I think – so the last time I put Harper as the pitcher for the morning grind on RotoGrinders – Harper hit three home runs, so I think I'll put him as the pitcher again today. So maybe he'll, you know, hit three home runs again. So there you go.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love three home runs from Harper.
Yeah. Give me Matt Olson to take Julio Teheran deep here. Almost a free pick. Under 4K to get two hits. Who do you like under 4K to get two hits today?
Man, Stevie, I'm going to go home on this one. Give me Jared Kelenic at 3,800.
Yeah, I like Kelenic a lot. Brandon Marsh is my guy today. I really like Brandon Marsh. He does a great job getting on base, and he does have that like power upside as well. Seeing the ball really well to start the season. So give me Brandon Marsh. Stack to score six or more runs. There's plenty of options today. Who do you got?
Yeah, look, man, I'm going with the Dodgers. I don't trust Bailey over in this spot. Dodgers are a high-powered offense. May not get as much ownership today. Give me LED.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I'm going to go Philadelphia. I'm not a huge fan of Miles Mikolas, man. You already talked about Harper. I like Harper, Schwarber, Turner. Really anybody that cracks the lineup here with Philly. We talked about Stott. I just talked about Marsh. Miles Mikolas just not missing bats. So I like this spot quite a bit for Philadelphia. So I'm going to go with Philly. Sorry, Derek. Any player props or pick'em plays that you like here night before?
Yeah, I was trying to see if I could find anything, Steven. It doesn't seem to be a whole lot rolling right now. They are giving us Blake Snell at 6.5 strikeouts against Washington. I think he can get it, Stevie, believe it or not. Give me Blake Snell more than 6.5 strikeouts against Washington today, even though he's just coming out. I think, man, you know, this is the guy that can pick up two an inning here, one an inning there, another two. Before you know it, he's got 7 strikeouts in 4 innings. So I like Snell today.
Yeah, I'm going to go to something that we just kind of talked about a few minutes ago. Javier Assad's not a strikeout guy. Like, he had a 7.6% swinging strike rate and a 17% whiff rate last season. His strikeout rate was like 21%. Not a strikeout pitcher. Give me Javier Assad under 3.5 strikeouts at +110 over there on FanDuel. I like this one quite a bit. San Diego, lowest strikeout team in baseball against right-handed pitching, a low strikeout pitcher. I think Assad ends up under 4 strikeouts here. So give me Javier Assad under 3.5. Any other bets that you like here?
Negative. I am good to go, my brother.
Well, I know you don't like playing them because of ownership, but give me Arizona -1.5 today. Zach Gallen against Kyle Freeland. Give me Arizona -1.5. Most books have this anywhere from -110 to -115. This is going to move before the morning, so jump on this one early and take advantage of this spot. Love this spot today. So give me Arizona -1.5. It's already moved, so it's at -115 now, and when I wrote it down earlier, it was -110. So I think this ends up closer to like -125, if not a little bit higher. So yeah, Arizona -1.5 today. Gallen against Freeland in any ballpark, give me Arizona -1.5. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here, my friend?
Negative, man. Thank you guys for hanging in there with this long show, I know, or longer show than usual, but hopefully you got some nuggets out of it, and hopefully you make a few dollars along the way.
Yeah, great spot to start the week, and hope everyone has a fantastic Monday. We're back on Tuesday talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.